Well, let's bring on the Timbers will take on San Diego FC tonight live from the park just up the road from here. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Kick at 7:30 should you choose your television viewing on Apple TV. Let's bring in Nate Bucati, who'll be on the call tonight. Nate, how you doing? Last time I chatted with you, Jake Zivin and I had you on our Timbers-specific show, but you're in the big time now, amigo.
Hey, let's go, Patrick. It's good to talk to you again, man. I remember that conversation fondly.
Yeah, I was already giving you grief last segment about Kansas City and Portland's fight on who's Soccer City USA, but we'll keep it civil here, okay? We won't get into that fight again.
Well, let's just put it this way. There's no doubt Portland is Soccer City USA. Kansas City is the soccer capital of America. Ooh. They each get their own titles, and we all are happy. Does that work?
That works.
Make everybody happy or no?
That works. We'll call it a truce. We'll call it a truce at that. Well, let's get into this Portland Timbers team as you're coming into town to call the game. A very different squad than the last time we chatted. I think the last time we chatted was before that Kansas City game. Look, Kansas City's had their struggles. We don't need to get into that, but the Timbers won that game 6-0. But a bunch of before that, after that, just kind of a little discombobulated mess. But since the change in administration, whether it was Jack Cassidy in the interim or now Marti Cifuentes, what have you seen about this team in making such a huge pivot?
Well, obviously the coaching change with Phil Neville being out is the biggest story, right, of the year. And as you mentioned, there was that stretch of an interim manager who seemed to get the best out of the team. Everybody was working hard, rowing in the right direction and getting results. And now we have a very short window to see how things are going to look under Marti Cifuentes. I do think we got some pretty decent indications, and he's pretty clear about his idea of how they want to go about their business and play games. But let's be honest, it's not the most ideal timing for a person to come in and try to implement a new system for a team when you have such a short amount of time between games. You don't really have any opportunities for on-field training to implement the system that you want to play. He said himself that it's all through film study and basically going over things in the classroom. So I think it's going to take a while to see this team really gel and start to play in the image that Marti Cifuentes has in his mind for the team. But that doesn't mean they still can't crank out some results. I think also, though, during this stretch, we're seeing that everybody's getting tested for depth. You know, how much can you rotate your squad? And that's obviously a challenge for Portland as well. So I think they're playing well. I know they don't like the way they're starting games. That seems to have transcended no matter who the manager is. It seems to be an issue for the team right now that they're trying to sort through. But overall, I think a team that's been playing better since, you know, they moved on from Phil Neville. And now we get to see how much can they really fully incorporate what Cifuentes wants them to do through the rest of this season.
Yeah, I've spoke with some players, and just the concept of three managers in a season has just got to be a wild situation. Let's stick with that as a new manager comes in. Now, I know we're kind of spitballing here and kind of just theorizing, but is there enough time left in the season for this team to, I don't think anybody has MLS Cup aspirations, but maybe get into the playoffs and win a round? Or are we looking maybe post-sprint season, even that, for Marti to really get his grips on this team?
It's a fantastic question. But if you look at the table, they're 1 point off the playoff pace right now. So you have to be thinking playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the intriguing things about this matchup tonight is you're talking about two teams that are both 1 point below the playoff line. So there's so much time left still in this season that anything's possible. And I don't see how you could write that off as a goal. Now, like you said, how far could they go in the playoffs? That's probably a different conversation. Maybe you take it one game at a time from that standpoint. But it's, I think, a team they feel like all along has been capable of better results than what they were getting earlier in the season. I think they showed that since the managerial change. And that means that they've got a chance. Now, how quickly can they be exactly what Cifuentes wants them to be? I can't give you the answer to that question. But I do think you could already start to see a little bit more of a clear picture, I guess, of what types of responsibilities players are supposed to have with and without the ball and things like that. I know there was a big mistake, you know, early in the game that led to that easy goal for Robin Lud. That's probably something you're going to see for a little bit, right? As they have to rotate the squad and don't get the time to go out there and train. But I don't see why they can't at least, you know, hold the fort down well enough in this time to keep themselves in the hunt for the playoffs.
He's Nate Buchady, Apple TV, MLS. I want to stick with probably the big shining moment of the team this year, at least offensively, has been Kevin Kelce. A lot of rumors swirling around. He could get moved. He could get sold. We don't need to get into that kind of speculation. But the forward position seemed, the striker specifically, seems to be kind of a low... not a lot of depth there. Gage Guerra has been in and out of injuries throughout the year, and Felipe Mora no longer on the team. Obviously, Vincent Janssen comes in. When you look at those kind of situations where a guy could get moved or couldn't get moved, and you are on the precipice of maybe really turning your season around, is it worth trying to hold on to that player, or do you just strike when the iron's hot if that's the best money and you move it then?
Yeah, boy, there are so many different factors that you have to consider, right? I don't think, from what I understand, and I'm just listening to the people that are much more informed on the transfer market than I am, the Tom Bogerts of the world and guys like that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like Portland are keen to move him on. They'd like to keep him around. You have to factor in, what does the player want, right? If you have a player that doesn't want to be there, that changes the calculus a little bit. And I don't know what the situation is with Kelce in that regard. I know he's been a player that hasn't had a sustained run at any one club for a long period of time, right? He was with Cincinnati for a short period of time. He was in Shakhtar Donetsk for a short period of time. And, you know, maybe that's something that could be attractive to him. Now, at the same time, if you're trying to sell him with stability, he's had three managers this year, right? So that doesn't probably feel like a lot of stability, but maybe if he and Cifuentes can connect and click, that changes the way that he feels about it. I don't know. And again, I don't have any idea what his thoughts are on the whole matter, but these are the types of things you have to factor in. What can you get for him? Does he want to stay? And do you have a place or replacement lined up? Mm-hmm. You know, is there enough time for you in the transfer window to make a corresponding move that gets you where you want to go? Somebody that maybe Cifuentes has his eye on that plays the way that he wants to play. And obviously, those things are all above my pay grade, things that I don't know the answers to, but it does make it kind of a complicated time. And I don't know, just a little aside for you, I think one of the reasons we're all kind of excited to see Major League Soccer get on the same calendar as everybody else. Mm-hmm. So these moves are more likely to occur between seasons, not in the middle of the season, which is, it's just such a difficult thing to... I mean, look at Vancouver. You know, you're selling Sebastian Berhalter when you've got a chance to go win an MLS Cup.
Broke my heart.
Not exactly the ideal situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hated that situation for them mostly because despite Vancouver being a rival of the Portland Timbers, I thought Berhalter is a really up-and-coming star and did make Vancouver look pretty good. I agree with you on that. Let's turn our eyes on to San Diego FC. Playoff team last year, knocked the Timbers out. Last year, famously in the playoffs, in a really brutal game here in Portland. It was pouring rain that day. I don't know if you remember that. That's not important. But San Diego FC kind of taking a step back this year and a little bit of struggles. They did lose at home to the Timbers earlier in the year, 2-1. Talk to me about this team and what you see from them that they do well, or let me know why they're struggling.
Well, and they're playing better of late. I think that's the first thing that you have to point out when you talk about this San Diego team. They got a couple of wins in Leagues Cup, which, you know, that's not necessarily so important. But if you look at all competitions, they're three wins in a row. They're playing better. And they're playing better, I think, three matches unbeaten in MLS play as well, if I remember correctly. They just grinded out a 1-0 win over LAFC. You could say maybe they got a little fortunate. Sun Heung-min had a couple of chances to score in that game and didn't. Then they got a handball, San Diego, at the end of the game. But here's one of the big storylines from that game. They get the handball, and their best player, you know, the runner-up for MLS MVP last year, Anders Dreyer, converts the penalty in the 89th minute and takes his shirt off in celebration and gets a yellow card. And maybe that's not a big deal. It's the 89th minute. Well, as they're trying to see the game out and hold on to the lead in the 97th minute, he has to commit a foul to stop a promising opportunity and gets a second yellow card and is now suspended for this game. So that's a big storyline. I mean, that's a big miss for San Diego coming into this game. When I talked to Mike Ibarra, he used the phrase and said, you know, in Spanish they say that this is when you need to cambiar el chip, change the chip, like the computer chip, because – everybody's kind of hit a reset button of some sort during the summer break, right? We know with Portland, it was a managerial change more than anything. San Diego, Chucky Lozano is now gone. Of course, he didn't feature with the team at all this year, but just having that situation, you know, off of your mind, I think is a huge key for them. And they've brought in Elias Achouri, a Tunisian striker who's a designated player. He's starting to get some minutes, so I think they're hoping that that will help them in the attack. But they're a side that I think more than anything, look, when you look at this matchup, here's what I think is interesting, Patrick, is that I don't love to get obsessed with possession numbers. Some people seem to think that if you have more of the ball, that means you dominated the game, and there's a lot of other stories. But when it comes to this game, I think it is an interesting storyline because San Diego, they lead MLS in possession. It's part of their game model. They want to knock the ball around. They want to make you chase. They want to dictate the terms of the game. A lot of times issue to a fault where it seems like they have possession without a purpose, and they just kind of pass the ball around without many ideas. But they will have possession. We know Cifuentes wants to have possession, right? I think 62% of the ball against Chicago. Now, that number is a little skewed by the fact that you fell behind early in the game, and Chicago is probably happy to sit back. But how does Cifuentes want to handle this one? Mm-hmm. Do you try to go toe-to-toe and win that possession battle against San Diego? Or are you a little more pragmatic, and do you rotate your squad and say, you know what, I don't have the team playing the system I want to play just yet. And San Diego, they're great at possessing the ball. Let's sit back and try to hit them on the counter. And here's one stat for you. San Diego, according to the MLS statistics, have not scored a counterattack goal all season long.
Oh, wow.
That's not how they play.
And I feel like that's kind of a weakness of this Timbers team a little bit, is that counterplay.
So, you know, that's going to be a really interesting, you know, I think that's an interesting dynamic in this game as well. And I think we got to see how much both coaches rotate their squads after, what's been a really, really tough stretch of games playing in League's Cup and then having a game over the weekend as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Nate Bucati, MLS Apple TV. A couple things before I get you out of here. You are a Kansas City guy. Are you guys trying to steal our Portland Trailblazers?
I don't know anything about that. I would tell you I wouldn't worry about it people from Kansas City might be mad at me for saying this. I don't see where there's enough corporate money in Kansas City to support another pro sports organization. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But they've already got the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting Kansas City, and the current, you know, it's market 33. Are the Trailblazers thinking about moving?
Well, it's just a bunch of drama around here with new ownership. He fired a bunch of people, wants money to renovate the stadium. It's a long, dramatic thing, but everybody's kind of looking at, well, where could he move? And Kansas City tends to pop up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a swell of people that are trying to always bring an NHL team or an NBA team to Kansas City, and there's always a debate about whether or not economically it would work. Now they're the Longs that own the current are trying to bring a WNBA team to town. Kansas City's a great sports town. I mean, it was like by far and away the number one television market for the World Cup. You know, we love our sports in Kansas City, but there's only so much money to go around. So I would be surprised if that happened, but what do I know?
Well, Nate, let's get you out of here on this. I don't know the last time you were in Portland. I always love asking our guests when they come to Portland because we love this city so much. Some things you love to do around town, things you like to get into if you got a little extra time.
I love the city of Portland, and I wish I got to come out here more often. This is my first trip here, and I didn't get to come out here at all last year. And when I got my schedule and found out that I had a Portland game, I was super excited. I've got another one coming up later this season that I'm really excited about. I think it's a beautiful town. Yesterday, I walked along the river and had lunch at that spot that's like right there on the river. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name of it. It was a seafood spot at a hotel. It was really nice. I had dinner with John Strong last night, Ooh. Who is one of my mentors and one of my favorite broadcasters and human beings. So that was cool. I got to see his, you know, part of town that he lives in. And that was a part of town I'd never been to before. I went to the Adidas store and stocked up on some Adidas gear. What I've always wanted to do that I've never done here, because like the thing that's so beautiful about Portland too is, you can daydream of like just going up into the forest and going for a hike.
Yep.
You know, it's not that far away. And I really want to go to Astoria someday because I'm an absolute, I just love the movie, The Goonies, you know, that was like a movie from when I was a kid and it looks amazing. So I've always wanted to do stuff like that, but I've never really explored outside because, you know, we get here the day before and so we stay downtown. And so I just have a tendency to tool around and check out different restaurants and places like that. And then I mean, look, this is going to sound like pandering, but going to the game is my favorite part, because I think this is easily one of the best atmospheres in all of Major League Soccer, if not the best. I think you can make a very strong case it's the best atmosphere. And I love the stadium. I love the location. The fan base is incredible. You always know there's going to be energy here. Like going to the Timbers games is my favorite part of coming to the city.
Well, at some point, maybe I'll show you around my town if we get some extra time.
Yeah, would you please? I love that stuff, man. I love going to places I've never been before, you know, going to restaurants, seeing things that I haven't seen. So you got to give me, and you can go online and do all the research you want. It's the people that live in town that know where the best spots are, you know?
You got it, brother. That's Nate Bucati, MLS, Apple TV. He'll be on the call tonight for the Timbers as they take on San Diego FC. I'll be at the park tonight. I'll come say hi. If you see a short guy with weird glasses, that's me, amigo. I'll come say hi.
You just described me, too, so we might be doing that Spider-Man thing, you know, where we're looking at, hey, you?
Pointing
right,
at
cool.
each other? That's great. Yeah. Have a good call, amigo. I'll see you tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That's Nate Bucati, MLS Apple TV, on the call tonight. Of course, you can catch it right here on the Fan Sports Network, your home of the Portland Timbers. Pregame at 6:30, kick at 7:30. I sat down with Marty Cifuentes yesterday with Jake Saban, with conversation with the new manager. We'll have that for you next. There's Casey with sports.